Episode 40, Freedom of Choice.
Welcome to the Thriving on Purpose podcast, where you'll learn how to take steps to create a life that you love and enjoy. This podcast will cover mindset coaching and practical tips and tools, sprinkled with intergenerational wisdom and inspiration, and some Torah too. Here's your host, Nechama Weiser, Certified Health and Life Coach.
Shalom and welcome to the 40th episode of Thriving on Purpose. 40 is a really beautiful number in Judaism and it symbolizes rebirth. And I think that as we wrap up our fourth episode, where I want to talk more about freedom, freedom really is rebirth in so many different ways. And I just want to bless us all that we really experience true freedom as we get closer and closer to the holiday of freedom, the holiday of Passover, and that each and every one of you experiences freedom in your own life and a sense of rebirth and newness. So let's get started. I'm recording this podcast during a really challenging time here in Israel. Two nights ago, we had over 300 missiles and drones sent our way from Iran. And what I felt was utter fear, so much uncertainty, going to sleep knowing that these missiles and drones were on their way. And it was just scary. It was scary. I had my own emotions. My children had their emotions. My husband had his emotions. But that image of just having those missiles and drones mid-air on their way targeted at you was just really a profound experience that I don't think I've experienced before. And it kind of brought up for me other situations in my life where I felt that there were missiles and drones sent my way, and obviously not practically, but just in terms of that sense of this unexpected news that I heard and the uncertainty of it all, and just that experience of what is going to be and that shock of this is happening. And the experiences that came to mind were a few weeks after our oldest daughter, Orly, was born. I found this like very little, you know, circle, I guess you could call it, near my ear that had to be removed, a parotidectomy. And it just started this whole cycle of going to all these specialists and over 8 months of figuring out what needed to be done. And thank God I got through it. But it was just that utter shock of like, I had just given birth and now I had to deal with this whole medical ordeal. My father's cancer diagnosis, also just that shock of news, like, is this happening? Is this not happening? Then a few months after finding out that that benign tumor had returned, the parotidectomy that I had done had not been successful. It had recurred, and this time was a cluster of 20 tumors that had to be removed on my facial nerve. Again, that, oh my gosh, like, I cannot believe that this is happening. My father's death, which while we had preparation in a sense, right? He was sick for 3.5 years, just the finality of it and just knowing that this is the end. Also, 100 drones, like that's kind of what it felt like, just coming your way. Then a few months after his death, discovering that I had thyroid cancer. Again, like, how could this be happening? Like, what is even happening here? And then something similar also October 7th, which wasn't a personal kind of upheaval, but of course, on a national level, on a personal level, on a Jewish level, just felt like such an extreme experience where you're just hit by a ton of bricks and you're trying to figure it out. And again, that image of the missiles and drones coming your way, just like, what's going to be? Is this going to hit? Is it not going to hit? Am I going to get hurt? Where's the safe room, right? Like that initial shock of this extreme news. So I think that what this incident kind of brought up for me was really all those times in my life where I just felt, first of all, that shock of the news, the jarring reality of like, this is happening. And then just that uncertainty of what's going to be, right? Like really not knowing how this story is going to end. And I think that this really represents the process of any time that we hear shocking news. Like our first reaction is fight or flight, right? Like we can't believe that this is happening. We're in denial. Like, is this true? Are we in a dream? Are we in reality? Right? Then we have like a physical reaction. Our body reacts. We could start crying. We feel like we were punched in the stomach. We could get clammy. Sometimes we feel dizzy or sweaty, right? Like our body responds to that initial hit of whatever it is that we're feeling, right? And then we kind of need to regulate our nervous system, right? So sometimes we'll choose to do some deep breathing. Sometimes we'll hold ourselves. We'll say some mantras like, I'm safe. It's going to be okay, right? Like just to try to like get ourselves to calm down. I know that that's something that I tried on Saturday night when I just knew that these missiles were on the way and I really had nothing to do aside from run to the safe room when the siren went off. But I just needed to regulate my nervous system so that I could get some sleep because I knew that it was going to be a long night. And then after we're able to regulate our nervous system, that's when we can kind of take action, right? That's when I got up and I prepared the safe room and I brought in snacks and water because I had already dismantled it after October 7th. That's when you can make the doctor's appointments. That's when you can get the support that you need and figure out what you need to get done. But that's not going to happen at that initial stage, right? There's like a process here. There's a progression. So I want to kind of share with you, I don't usually read things on the podcast, but, my husband actually shared this with me and I think that it really illustrates beautifully what I'm trying to convey here. So I'm going to read to you the cockroach theory. At a restaurant, a cockroach suddenly flew from somewhere and sat on a lady. She started screaming out of fear. With a panic-stricken face and trembling voice, she started jumping with both her hands desperately trying to get rid of the cockroach. Her reaction was contagious, as everyone in her group also got panicky. The lady finally managed to push the cockroach away, but it landed on another lady in the group. Now it was the turn of the other lady in the group to continue the drama. The waiter rushed forward to their rescue. In the relay of throwing, the cockroach next fell upon the waiter. The waiter stood firm, composed himself, and observed the behavior of the cockroach on his shirt. When he was confident enough, he grabbed it with his fingers and threw it out of the restaurant. Sipping my coffee and watching the amusement, this is not me, this is still the story, the antenna of my mind picked up a few thoughts and started wondering, was the cockroach responsible for the histrionic behavior? I think like the hysterical behavior. If so, then why was the waiter not disturbed? He handled it near to perfection without any chaos. It is not the cockroach, but the inability of those people to handle the disturbance caused by the cockroach that disturbed the ladies. I realize that it is not the shouting of my father or my boss or my wife that disturbs me, but it's my inability to handle the disturbances caused by their shouting that disturbs me. It's not the traffic jam on the road that disturbs me, but my inability to handle the disturbance caused by the traffic jam that disturbs me. More than the problem, it's my reaction to the problem that creates chaos in my life. Lessons learned from the story. Still not me. I understood I should not react in life. I should always respond. The women reacted, whereas the waiter responded. Reactions are always instinctive, whereas responses are always well thought out. A beautiful way to understand life. The happy person is not because everything is right in his life. He is happy because his attitude towards everything in his life is right. And what I love about this story is the idea that yes, we have that instinctive response. Sometimes we do just yell or shriek or realize that we're getting upset when we're stuck in traffic. But then we have a moment where we can calm ourselves down and redirect, right? What is our attitude? So we have drones and missiles coming our way. Yes, immediate reaction is fear, right? But then when I can calm myself down, I can realize, wait, I have a safety room. Thank God I have a safety room. Gratitude for my safety. My family is all around me. Again, gratitude for that. I'm able to be in touch with other family members to support them. Gratitude. We're all in this together. Don't have a lot of food in my house, but I did have food to feed my family. So even if, you know, the stores, which generally happens during a war, people, you know, raid the stores and there's no food in the stores, we had plenty of food to survive, right? But that instinctive, like, there's not enough food, we're not safe, right? It literally threatens our basic needs for safety. So it makes sense, right, when that happens. But then let's respond, right? The reaction is instinctive, and sometimes it happens. Sometimes we're able to be more in control. But in extreme situations, our first stage is to react. And then we want to regroup, we want to calm our nervous system down, and we want to respond. And I think that this approach really creates freedom in choosing how we want to move forward. There's little choice in the instinctive response, right? A lot of times that's just something that happens automatically, right? Even situations where we just get angry and it feels very instantaneous. It doesn't feel like a choice. But that's not the point of choice that I'm talking about. It's afterwards. After we realize that our body has responded in an instinctive way, we calm ourselves down, right? And we have a whole episode on how to calm down your nervous system. So you're welcome to check that out. Then we choose how we want to respond. Then we come up with a plan of action. And that's the freedom of choice. That's where we get to decide, how do I want to move forward? What do I want to do with this fear in my body? Where do I want to channel it? And I can say for me that in every one of the examples that I gave in terms of my personal, you know, situations where I felt like missiles and drones were coming my way, there was an active step that I took after every one of these incidents, after the initial reaction, after the shock, after just that utter what is happening. I was able to gather myself together to calm myself down and choose how I wanted to move forward. So if I think about, you know, my thyroid cancer, I actually wrote a post, a question and answer post about my approach in finding out that I had cancer a few months after my father died of cancer, a different cancer. But that was my way of expressing my faith, of expressing my mindset shifts. And I wanted to offer that support to other people. I used my shock to channel it and to really be able to help other people. So yes, I had that initial shock when I heard the news, but when I gathered myself together, when I was able to calm my nervous system down, I was then able to take a very concrete step. After my father passed away and after I sat Shiva for 7 days, and really had the opportunity to mourn, that's the 7-day mourning period, I decided that I was going to write a booklet for the year where every month I was going to focus on one of his attributes and one of the things that made him the incredible person that he was. And that was my way to channel my pain, to create impact, to share more about who he was. So in every one of these examples, right, whenever we are hit with this shock or just this news, whenever missiles and drones are coming our way, I encourage you to kind of think of these steps, right? And there are the stages of grief, right, which don't exactly mirror this, but there's a progression, right? And just to understand that there's a place for each one of these steps. and to be compassionate with yourself as you experience each and every one of them, and to understand that at the end, right, at the end of this process, you have a choice. And that choice is the freedom of choice. It's the ability to be able to choose what you want to do. And even though there are times in this process where you may feel that you don't have a choice, where you feel like you're being controlled by your emotions, right? And your thoughts are just flooding your brain and you just don't have that time to pause and reflect and think and consider, there will come a time when you will have the ability to do that. So with that, I want to kind of wrap up the fourth episode on freedom. We talked about different aspects of freedom, and I think it beautifully connects to the Arba Lishonot Geula, right? Those are like the four languages of redemption. And I think that freedom, redemption, is such an important part of our experience as a nation and as individuals. And again, I just want to bless each and every one of you that you will find the freedom, the redemption in your own life. And I hope that you have a beautiful week, and I will see you next week. Next week is going to be Erev Chag. It's going to be right before the Passover holiday. So I'm just going to hop on for a quick episode to share some tips and tricks about Passover. It's going to be brief, but good. So have a great week, and I'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Thriving on Purpose with Nechama Weiser. If this episode piqued your interest or inspired you, and you're looking for a health and life coach who can help you uplevel your life, then reach out today. Visit NechamaWeiserCoaching.com for details.